Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that sees two movies with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it best. On this week's first Clashmas showdown of the festive season, in the green corner, Jim Carrey finds himself sandwiched between Boris Karloff and Benedict Cumberbatch in taking on the iconic role of the Grinch, shouting, mugging, screaming, gurning, singing and stealing Christmas.
In a place where the Christmas spirit is everywhere.
Have the best Christmas ever!
Well, almost everywhere.
Counting down the Christmas clock, old young Bishop.
Blast this Christmas music! It's joyful and triumphant.
Jim Carrey is...
The Grinch! I must stop this Christmas from coming!
While in the other corner, Grumpy Krampus causes a Christmas rumpus.
How are we going to survive Christmas with 12 people stuck in a house with no heat and no electricity?
Or food.
There's plenty of leftovers, Howard.
Beer it is.
It's the weirdest thing. There's no cars, no people.
How long can this keep up?
We heard something on the roof.
The hell's this?
St. Nicholas is not coming this year. Instead, a much darker ancient spirit.
Those are hooves. Elk or a goat?
What kind of goat walks on its hind legs?
His name is Krampus.
So what connects these two films and which one does it better? Let's find out. It's Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello Clash Podders, I'm Chris Tilley.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
And Alex Zane is not with us today.
As
he's currently hiding on Mount Crumpet with his dog. Meaning we've got to start Clashmas without him. How are you feeling about that, Vicky?
I feel fine. I'm a professional, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But also sad, because it's not the same without him.
It is a bit sad.
Yeah.
I don't normally miss him, but as it's Christmas, it feels like it's a time to be with
friends.
At least
the one time of year you can extend in some kindness. Yeah, sure.
We'll get well soon, Alex. Although by the time you listen to this, I think we will have recorded next week. So I don't know.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Films this week. Alex's clues were something to do with monsters and stretching and double hating.
Mm.
And the guesses came tumbling in like presents falling down a chimney. Lots of people went for The Nightmare Before Christmas versus How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which thematically would have been a better pair.
Sure.
But we'll probably do Nightmare Before Christmas one Halloween,
yeah.
I reckon. While some people suggested Rare Exports versus Krampus, which again would have been a very strong pair, maybe stronger than this. But even before Clue 2 went live, featuring Alex's award-winning performance, Gary... One of the Garys went early with Krampus and the Grinch. And if we're happy that the Grinch is the same as How the Grinch Stole Christmas, as people seem to be arguing on Twitter,
right,
then Gary is our winner. and will be receiving a big DHL delivery on Christmas Eve that consists of a cherub, a teddy bear, a toy robot, and a jack-in-the-box. Enjoy. So, Vicky.
Yes.
Connection section.
Oh, I've got a few. So, consumerism has ruined Christmas.
100,000%.
Christmas stampedes in the shop and sort of in Whoville. Mm-hmm. And this is equivalent to hats, but okay. Characters called Max. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's? Oh, yeah.
The boy and
very
the dog.
Very good. Very good. Key characters.
Yeah.
They both play out in something snowy and small. You've got a snowflake.
Oh, yeah.
And a snow globe.
That's nice.
We're playing out at the end. Kids being bullied, very sadly.
Oh, yeah.
In both movies.
Yeah.
Heroic dogs.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I missed that. Yep.
Yeah. Heroic dogs.
Yep.
Is that all you got?
It is all I've got, yeah.
That's all I've got. So, I mean, ultimately, it's about monsters who enjoy messing with Christmas. So on Thursday, I'll be celebrating Christmas Eve, all.
That was worth turning up for.
With Krampus. But for now, Vicky, take us on a festive journey.
No matter how different a who may appear, he will always be welcomed with holiday cheer. Except that's not true, is it, Cindy? Because if you're the Grinch and you're green and you had an invisible beard when you were 8, you'll be chased out of town to live in a rubbish dump forever. And what's worse, your actual home is overrun by the shit the Whos, these Christmas-obsessed, selfish maniacs, throw away every year, including, probably, Max the dog, your only friend in the world, thus fueling your hatred for the one time of year where you might reconcile and heal those old wounds. But instead, you've got to smash your own brains in just to banish hurtful memories. Happy Christmas. I digress. The Grinch steals Christmas, eventually, but that doesn't work because of singing. And so the Grinch is welcomed back into the fold, reunited with sexy Martha, which makes his cheeks warm, I bet it does, and then hosts the annual Christmas dinner in his mountain home. Just watch out for the dog carcasses, those unwanted Christmas presents that didn't survive the dump it to crump it. More on that later.
Well, I'm still laughing about the invisible beard. What is that all about?
Yeah, you're so hairy. It's really not. I just had to assume that beard in Whoville just meant sideburns.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have a beard, ever. He doesn't have any hair in the places in which he shaves. Anyway, nonetheless. So I can't remember when I saw this. As in, I only watched it once. I would have been in my early 20s, like a student house, sort of, you know, cosy, easy viewing, not paying much attention. But I have to confess, I've always hated the drawings of Dr. Seuss. Hated them to the point where the kids now have got some of the books and I cannot bear to look at them. So I'm not a big fan. I mean, I just can't bear it. And I think the reason I can't bear it, I had to do a bit of digging, is because the snouty faces of the Whos and are like a lot of the characters, they remind me of when the kids in The Witches get turned into mice. And that's why I can't cope with it.
Right.
So I've seen it once. I can't bear those snouts. Never again, apart from in the week. What about you?
Well, I didn't grow up on Dr. Seuss.
No, I don't think... It's very much a US thing, is it?
It is, although I feel like people will tell us now that they did grow up on Dr. Seuss in the UK. But maybe also this film helped sort of popularize him over here, because him and Maurice Sendak, like Where the Wild Things Are, I didn't know about. It was Ina Blyton and Roald Dahl.
Yes.
But so I think the first I even knew of The Grinch, because in the States, even if you didn't read the books, the cartoon was on every year.
Yeah.
Which again, wasn't a thing that was on every year here.
No.
But the first time I think I saw the cartoon or some of it was when Kevin McAllister was watching it in Home Alone 2.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think there's sort of a dissolve from the Grinch smiling to Tim Curry smiling.
Yeah, there is.
There's your little mention, Alex. Yeah, I didn't really know the story, but, you know, I love a Christmas film. And I remember looking forward to this movie because at the time I was a huge Jim Carrey fan,
right,
as a lot of us were. And then based on the trailers and the reviews, I just checked out.
Right,
I was like, I don't fancy this. I'm not going to watch it. And so I didn't. I never watched it. And then about 5 years ago, just in a desperate search for new Christmas films, I thought, well, I may as well put it on because it is Jim Carrey and, you know, it is Ron Howard.
Yes.
And I got to the bit where Cindy Lou sings her song,
Whoa,
Where Are You Christmas?
Yeah.
And I just switched it off.
Yeah.
Life's too short, I told myself.
She's great, but that song is jarring.
Life's too short and stop watching this. You'll never have to watch this again. Just forget about it. And so that's where my journey with The Grinch ended. Although I did watch the Cumberbatch version last year.
Right, okay.
or some of it. I don't know if I finished it.
Right.
But I
have no desire
to
check that out.
And it was fine, though. I mean, I thought that was all right. But yeah. My only other connection to The Grinch is that I used to eat...
glass!
I used to eat at the chippy where Boris Karloff, who voiced the original Grinch, was born.
Oh, really? Where is that?
It's the Seamaster on Forest Hill Road.
Oh, my God! I know that chippy!
Yeah, yeah.
Yes!
It's got a blue plaque inside the chippy saying Boris Karloff was born here, which is just the coolest thing.
Yeah. Do you know what? We must have wandered around the same streets of Southeast London at the same time before we even knew each other.
Magic.
That's Mark's mum lives around the literally a 2-minute walk from that chip shop.
Good, he's good fish as well. If anyone looking for a chippy and Peckham,
if anyone cares, yeah, go to Seamaster in Forest Hill. All right, so let's do some. Like I said, I'm the same as you. I didn't know much about the history of this film or Dr. Seuss actually, but there's quite a lot to get through. So I'll try and be quick. So Dr. Seuss is the pen name of Theodore Geisel, who is very well known in the US, definitely. Not so sure about here, but I'm sure people will tell us otherwise. So he published 60 books and he sold 700 million copies, which is a lot. Yeah, kids love them. I mean, my kids love the rhymes. I just can't bear to look at the joints. That's
the thing. But also, you know, it's a different story now to how it was 20 years ago, because there's six films or so out and they're huge movies. You know, these are movies that are making half a billion.
I thought you were going to say about this because there were six books that were pulled recently for hurtful depictions of people, which basically means racist depictions of people. Which there's a big conversation going on over there about his legacy and you know do you bin the whole thing or do you just you know you admire his legacy where it's good and then you bin the bits that were a bit shit and hurtful. Like there's a lot to be said about that. But anyway, he died, Dr. Seuss did, in 91. At the time of his death, there wasn't much in the way of adaptations like merch and stuff like that. There was the TV version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. When he died, he was writing the adaptation of Oh, the Places You'll Go, which is actually one of the books that I do like. But anyway, his widow, Audrey, she's going to change all that.
I think Audrey might be the villain of this piece. By the time we get to the end of this, this whole story.
When I started reading about her, I was like, oh, I get it. And then by then I was like, love Audrey. Fuck it, why not? She's going to merch the living shit out of this legacy.
She sounds like a somewhat demanding lady.
She does. But I would also, well, I'll come back to, inconsistent. But we'll get there.
Yeah, so, agreed. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I love this idea. So she puts How the Grinch Stole Christmas, she puts the rights up for auction. Essentially. And in order to get into the room to pitch, you, the studio, director, whoever you are, you know, your team, you've got to pay $5 million for the material, 4% of gross, which is huge, 50% of the merch, and 70% of income from the book tie-ins. And also, quote, any actor submitted for The Grinch must be of comparable stature to Jack Nicholson, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, and Dustin Hoffman. Additionally, she wouldn't consider any director or writer who hadn't earned at least $1 million on a previous picture. So she's only interested in big established names.
Mm, that was the only bit I didn't like. I'm actually all for it. If you can get it, go for it. You
know,
you worked on contracts and things. Friggin' go for it. It's
definitely.
Just that felt a bit weird because just because you've earned $1 million
doesn't mean you're a good director. Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, yeah, fine, get it. It's your stuff. It was your husband's, you know, IP. You're his wife. Go for it. But to put this bar on it, which is like, if you haven't been paid this, you're no good, I think is. I mean, it all turned out fine, but still, it's just a little bit tart. Anyway.
Did it all turn out fine, though? Well, that's what we'll dig into. Financially, it did.
Yeah, exactly. So Tom Shadyac is mentioned, John Hughes, the Farrelly brothers, actual Jack Nicholson, later Tim Burton would be in the mix. But Audrey likes Universal because Universal have got a Seuss-themed theme park ride. And so Brian Grazer goes in, but he takes Gary Ross, and she's not keen on the pitch that they've got because Gary Ross wanted to take The Grinch to the worlds of Green Eggs and Ham, McElliott's Pool and other books. And she said no, because she said the other books would be in other productions. And that's her saying, why make one movie when you can make 60 movies?
Fine,
fair enough.
Yep.
So Brian Grazer begs her for another go, which I quite like the idea of him begging her. So this is where I start to like her. He gets Ron Howard in, and apparently on the flight over, Ron Howard's thinking, like, how do we tell this story? And he sort of focuses in on Cindy Lou and what's the Grinch's motivation, and all the rest of it. And so Audrey is in. We've got a script by Jeffrey Price and Peter Seaman, who we literally just talked about on Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So she says, Audrey, for numerous revisions on the screenplay. She says, 8 drafts. I was like, okay, I think that's fine. There was much I didn't like. She didn't like what she calls sexual humour.
Okay, good. We got none of that in the film.
That's exactly right. So when the interviewer was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, like creating a furball. She wouldn't elaborate any further. Some of the jokes, which we will pick up later, are unbelievably lewd and quite sexy.
Yes.
There's a joke about swinging that I cannot, she either didn't know what it was. I can't believe that she did, she wasn't like, take that out. Mm,
strange that the guys who wrote Roger Rabbit put all that weird sex stuff in this kid's film.
That's true.
I'm starting to think they might have a problem.
Maybe. So Jack Nicholson was considered, as we said, also Eddie Murphy, but it went to Jim Carrey because Audrey liked Jim Carrey. He'd met her before, he spun her around, he held her close and he made a Grinch face and she was sold. But the studio needed a little bit of convincing. You're going to pay Jim Carrey something like $20 million and under all the makeup, he would be barely recognisable. So they were understandably asking a few questions about that. This is one of the my favourite facts I found out. Ron Howard showed a videotape of Carey and other actors in the full makeup to his daughter and her friends and then said to the audience, if you see Jim Carrey, put your hand up. And they spotted him apparently every single time because he's so unmistakably him, even though you can't see his face. The makeup, I think this is all fairly well known. Jim Carrey absolutely hated the makeup, took 3 hours to get into. He often refused to do it. The contact lenses were really sore. The filmmakers hired, I read it was either, I mean, CIA, Navy SEAL, I don't quite know the difference, but some dude to, I assume a dude actually, could be wrong.
It was a man.
It would be a man.
He talked about it on Graham Norton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, they offered him like how to survive torture tips because he said it was that bad. It's like being buried alive. Yeah. What he said.
I think Hollywood people need to get a grip sometimes.
I mean, this is the thing. I don't understand, you know, you don't want to throw somebody else's pain under the bus, but it's like, it isn't like being buried alive because you've not been buried alive. And also, do you remember that $20 million that you're getting? Do you remember that? Like, that's lovely, isn't it?
I understand the enlarged contact lenses with the eyes. I imagine that is absolute agony.
Yeah.
But he sounded like, you know, he was being a bit of a prima donna, ripping all the makeup off when no one was looking.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So Kazuhiro did the makeup, who then had to like stage a bit of a walk off for about a week and went into hiding to sort of, you know, so the producers like, we need to show Jim how valuable you are. This story is really, it's awful. So apparently he's in the trailer and he's putting the makeup on and Jim Carrey just goes to him, looks at the makeup and says, this colour is different from yesterday. Fix it. And Kazuhiro is like, I am obviously using the same colour as I used yesterday. So it has to do that thing where you're pander to someone's ego where you're like, okay, I'll get a quote most different colour, put the same colour on his face. And it's like, the Emperor's New Clothes. It's ridiculous. So apparently, and he said every day was like that.
And the fallout from that was quite dark for him.
For Kazuhiro?
Yeah.
I thought he got a green card.
Yeah, but he also ended up in therapy.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he? He said that was the last time he ever wanted to do that.
Yeah, he ended up in therapy because of how stressful the experience had been. And I think he was going to give up the whole gig, but luckily he came back to makeup. I think he won an Oscar. And
he did,
you know,
didn't he do? Wasn't
I think
it
he
Gary,
did Gary Oldman?
Oldman,
yeah. Their Darkest Hour. Yeah.
So that is as much as I have got. Anything else?
No, I think we should get into this charming movie.
This charming movie. Okay, so here we go. Right, let's follow the voice of Anthony Hopkins, just because. And we'll drift. So there's some puns coming up inside a snowflake.
I like that it was, it's just a very good drift. That it was Anthony Hopkins, though, because I feel like it follows in the footsteps of Boris Karloff.
Okay.
You've got a horror icon narrating the piece. Because it's funny that in the animated one, they didn't go down the horror icon route with the narrator. So you've got Boris Karloff, Anthony Hopkins, Pharrell. Different direction.
He's keeping good company there. I mean, just to get this out of the way, because I know how boring this is, but I can't not be me. I don't like the voiceover. I love Anthony Hopkins and I love hearing his voice, but you shouldn't need it. Like, it's the runtime's too long anyway. I know it's based on a book, but it's based on a book full of rhyme. Find a way for the characters to do it. I don't think you need a voiceover, basically. Interesting fun fact. In the book, because the Whos live in like thatched huts, so they obviously struggled to try make the aesthetic. And so they had to like comb through all of the books to find all of these like recurring shapes and motifs to make the film look like it does. So even though Audrey is like, do not go into those other worlds, Audrey Geisel, they had to in order to not have the Whos look like they lived into sort of like in poverty, basically. So that's a fun fact.
And in terms of those aesthetics, I just don't think my brain is wired this way. That with the way he shot it, with everything being off kilter, the whole film feeling like it's at a Dutch angle.
Yeah.
And the weird sort of, I called them Royston Vasey faces.
Yeah.
Like, it feels a bit League of Gentlemen.
It does.
And everyone looking quite manic. It made me feel very anxious in a way that I don't want Christmas to make me feel. Like, because I compare it to Elf. where, you know, you're in this other land, that one's in the North Pole, and it makes me want to be there. It makes me feel happy and yes. calm. And this, I guess it's supposed to be unpleasant because of the way they're behaving, but everything about it is so unappealing that it makes me feel physically sick.
I completely agree with you. I don't want to be anywhere near him.
No.
And I love Christmas.
It makes me feel stress and fear.
Yeah. So the Whos, they love Christmas, but the Grinch doesn't. The Grinch lives in the Whoville dump in Mount Crumpet with Max. So I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, because how do you think he found Max? All he lives at the top of a mountain, and all the stuff around him comes through the dump pit, the rubbish chute. So how did Max get up there?
Did someone throw out their dog?
This is the internet theory. So there's a TikTok right by Dog Mom AF. And this TikTok has been seen there's lots of people that have said it, but this particular TikTok has been watched 3 million times, where she talks about, it feels like the filmmakers are saying Max was a gift that was a puppy that was put down the chute, and that's how he ended up with the Grinch. And that's why the Grinch feels a certain, more than affection, a kinship, a friendship with Max, because they both got dumped.
That's a pretty solid theory.
I think it is. I think it works. Like, and I also don't think it harms the film, because the Whos are awful, basically. Awful people.
Yeah.
And the film doesn't shy away from that. So that
And it doesn't harm the film, because it's not in the film.
Exactly. It's around the film.
It's a TikTok.
It's a TikTok about the film. And it's not actually in the film. So the Grinch, he eats rubbish. And specifically, I was very hung up on this, bites a white onion like it's an apple, which I know is a lazy way of going, oh, he's gross. But I was like, oh, yuck, he's gross.
Oh my God. I hate onions anyway.
I know.
I don't even like cooked ones. But so this is one of the many reasons that he's a hero, isn't he? Because he's a recycler.
Yes, hadn't thought of it. That's true.
I feel like there were just many, many aspects of his personality that make me think, you are such a hero.
Especially because he eats glass. Like, that's pure recycling, I guess. Well, I suppose it depends what he does with his effluents. Uses it as fertilizer,
ooh,
I guess.
Oh, moving on.
Anyway, so, okay, so I like the onion bit because it was gross, and the kids that I was watching it with, my kids, they thought it was gross, so that was fun. So, anyway, the Grinch is off to Whoville at this point, which I think just to chuck some post about, not sure, but he wears the most terrifying mask you've ever seen in order to not be recognised, and some sort of Jedi cloak. And I couldn't concentrate on anything apart from that mask, because it's one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen. And I blocked it from my memory from my first viewing. It haunts me still.
I'm also intrigued that you watched this with your kids.
Yeah,
this is going to be very helpful. Like, how were they feeling at this point?
Leo was crying at this point because of the scary mask.
Great.
And I promised him that we could turn it off if he got upset. And then I broke that promise immediately, because I thought, I can't face stopping and starting it. Like, I just want to get through it. And he did say, he was like, you promised. I was like, yeah, I know I did, Leo. Shut up. So I made them watch it because I knew they'd get into it. I tell you, the only thing that I had them on the hook with is, I was like, the Grinch will kiss that lady at the end. He will kiss Martha. I'm telling you, I know how this works, because mummy knows, because mummy's seen it before, but also mummy knows how narrative works, and he will kiss her. And they would bang into that.
So why were they into that? What's exciting about
redemption?
Okay.
Because no one loves him. And okay. I was like, someone will love him, and that lady loves him, and she'll kiss him.
And did they think that was, did they think you're fun when you say mummy knows about narrative? Oh, great. We're going to have a laugh today.
I'm actually in something of a copyright dispute with my eldest over a script that he swears down he came up with the story for. And it's like, he didn't. I shared it with him at some point, and he may have offered a few pointers. And he said to me, you owe me half the money. And I was like, have you been listening in on my private conversations? How do you know about owing you half the money? And also, I'm not giving you half the money.
But why are you stealing scripts from children? Just be proud that they're having these ideas that
I'm not giving
him
a credit. I'm not sharing my credit.
How did they feel about Jim Carrey as the Grinch?
That's a good question, because they don't know him.
No. Interesting.
No,
yeah,
they
yeah.
don't. No, because they haven't seen.
Of course not. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So they just, I don't know, they just thought he was just this sort of manic monster. They thought he was funny.
Thought he was funny, yeah.
Yeah. Not okay. always, not consistently, which I think is how everyone feels.
Yes. Yeah.
The bit where he rips off the t-shirt, where he's like the Hulk. That yes. got a big laugh.
Yeah, that was. I thought that was quite funny. I mean, I feel like there's an issue with his teeth here. He just doesn't. He can't speak properly.
I can't quite tell what he's saying.
You know, I read reviews where they were saying, "Oh, he's doing an impression of Sean Connery at some point," and it's like, I don't think he is. It's because he can't get his words out properly.
Yeah.
It's like when you got Dracula teeth in, you sound like a Wally. And so, yeah, I just, I don't know. I feel like when you go back and watch the Karloff cartoon, you realise that it's got, this isn't the Grinch. This is frigging Jim Carrey doing stand-up.
Definitely. Yeah.
And there are points, as I think you're alluding to, where you think they should have cut earlier or use a different take if he's improvising, because not everything's working here.
Yeah.
But you're just chucking everything in because, oh, it's Jim Carrey.
That's
isn't
what
that
I mean.
Funny?
And so I think I wonder how, maybe not, maybe in like 20 years, when our generation are much older and we don't have those like hangover memories of the love we had for Jim Carrey. And when my kids are like watching it, when they're sort of being nostalgic about Christmas movies, will it make any sense to them? Like what this person is doing because of all the makeup as well. Like he'll be notable as an actor that was very, you know, inhabited his skin the way he did and moved the way he did and all the rest of it. But under all the makeup, they'll be like, what is this Grinch thing?
Yes, because
like,
if you watch Karloff and Cumberbatch, yeah, it's a grumpy old man. It's Scrooge.
Yeah.
I get that. Who's this maniac in the middle?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's have a small break and then we'll destroy the rest of it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Okay, so this is cute. So the Grinch, his heart is two sizes too small. And now even though his heart is two sizes too small, and even though we haven't gone on a redemptive arc just yet, he rescues Cindy Lou from a sorting machine in the post office. So I think they go a bit too early on that arc. Like there's a lot of traipsing up and down a mountain, and there's a lot of him being good, basically, even though he's supposed to be bad. But whatever, it's fine. And Cindy Lou, you know, I like her because she doesn't have a scary face to me. She hasn't grown into her nose, as the mayor says later. So that's fine. I did read there was like an argument between Brian Grazer, a discussion, and Rick Baker about whether or not Whovilles, the Whos, should look odd, which was Rick Baker's choice, or should look cute, which was Brian Grazer's choice. And I couldn't tell you who won. The article ends there. Mm. Are they supposed to be scary or are they supposed to be cute? Because to me, they're just quite scary.
Yes, I agree.
I don't like
There's nowt cute about that.
So then Cindy Lou sings a terrible song, which I know you didn't like.
But I don't know if there's something wrong with me because I also hate that song in Toy Story 2.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if I can't deal with a saccharine song just in the middle of... And I couldn't when I was a kid. I don't know. Maybe I've not got a heart
But you
myself.
Do you do like a musical, don't you?
Don't mind a musical, but sometimes...
Yeah, then you're in it, I guess.
And it also it depends what the song is. This song is... The way she performs it is so awful. Maybe I don't like little kids singing as well.
I think that's fair enough.
That might be it, because it's not as bad a song. It's the song at the end, isn't it, that Faith Hill sings?
Oh, God, I don't know. All I remember is Where Are You Christmas? And it's like, well, it's right here. And Christmas isn't a person, so you can't really say, Where Are You Christmas? But...
Written by Mariah Carey.
It wasn't.
Yeah, which I find strange in that Mariah Carey, who is now the Queen of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get Faith Hill to sing it at the end.
Which maybe she knew it was shit. She doesn't want to like split the vote, does Fair she? Like, she's got an absolute Christmas banger under her belt. Why would you want to pollute your legacy with something like this?
Why couldn't that have been in this film?
I fucking love that song.
Why couldn't she have sung it here?
Oh my God, I just burst into a little dance as well. Oh, no. Anyway, the point of the song, though, as awful as it is, she's losing her Christmas spirit kind of thing because she doesn't know what to ask for Christmas, which is very consumerist driven, but that's the point of their interpretation of Christmas.
God, you did more than me. I didn't listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, she doesn't know what to ask for. And so because she doesn't quite get on with Christmas anymore, this means she will feel a connection with the Grinch, who also famously does not like Christmas. So she does some digging about who he is and why he is. And this is where she finds out that the Who's are swingers. So there's a flashback to Christmas Eve when all the babies are delivered. And there's a very sharp joke about a baby being delivered that, hey, honey, this looks just like your boss, which is hilarious. Audrey, can't believe that one was all right by you. But also, unless I'm just being weird, the Who's are at a Christmas party and they're putting their keys in a bowl. And that, in Britain, certainly, isn't that a signifier of swingers party?
Yes, you're not being weird. That's exactly what's happening there. Okay. I mean, you could argue, oh, are they putting their keys there because they're getting drunk and they don't want to drive home? No, they're not. They're all in walking distance of each other. We've seen this town. And it's surprising to me that Dr. Seuss's widow would watch that and think, yeah, that's fine. That fits in. Because it's so unnecessary. They're having this wild party. That's enough. You just need a moment for them to ignore what's at the door.
They can be doing anything.
They're having a great... I mean, to be honest, even before the key thing was happening, it was looking a bit
saucy in there.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was all like, this is a frigging... I've not been to a party that good.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve as well. That's not what it's about. It's not about swinging, not on Christmas Eve. And it's impractical.
Mm.
You've got jobs to do on Christmas Eve. There's a lot to prepare. There is not time for partner swapping, I don't think. I mean, actually, no, not unless you're very used to it, I guess, and it's no big deal.
Or your partner's no good and next door's partner is excellent at cooking.
He said cooking.
Put that turkey on while you're here. Get that basted. But the adorable baby Grinch ends up with two ladies.
Yeah.
I feel like they're two ladies who live together.
I think so.
I feel like this is quite progressive.
Very progressive, because they seem to be very into what you think is a heteronormative, very sort of marriage, I assume marriage focused. People live in couples, blah, 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 blah. But I would say Grinch is raised by two women. 100%. Yes. He's got two moms, definitely.
Yeah, and they don't draw attention to it. No. I think, A, because they're frightened, but equally, the other way of looking at it is because it doesn't matter. It's just normal.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, I'm quite proud of you.
Yeah, I felt exactly the same. Yeah. And also, this flashback section, I just absolutely love. I love it so much because of 8-year-old Grinch, played by Josh Ryan Evans. Aww. I just think... This film, I was a little bit annoyed with it at first. And then this flashback, it was like being hit with like a sugary hammer to the heart. I felt everything that 8-year-old Grinch was going through, the bullying, the ridicule, he's like, he loves Martha so much. He makes her this present in the only way he knows how, which is smashing things to pieces.
Yeah, and Josh Ryan Evans was an older little person playing a child, and he really delivers here. Like, it's quite sad.
He's so good.
He passed away a couple of years later, very sadly, and that really upset me because he's fantastic here. What I also didn't know is I think he plays all the babies in Baby Geniuses, which is one of the worst films of all time, which we should definitely do on this podcast at some point.
I would love to. I mean, I'm the thing, how might be his biggest fan. Like, honestly, it just blew me away. I just thought he's the heart of the film.
And there's a sweet moment here as well where they're recounting the story in the present day and it cuts to Martha Ray.
Yeah.
And I wasn't 100% sure because I checked a couple of times. I think she might be wearing in her headdress the jewels that were on the present
really?
He got her.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not 100% on it, but they look similar. And that would be a lovely little Easter egg if she
was so brilliant.
Still thinking about him.
So, I mean, there is... the only thing is, because I had been terrified by the mask that the Grinch wears to go to town, when little 8-year-old Grinch, he's had a go at himself with the razor and everyone's like, lower the boat, what's the matter with you? I swear to God, I was like, Leo was crying, my child, crying again in fear. Because I was like, they've already frightened us once. What are they going to do now?
Oh, no, so, I knew what was coming.
No, I thought he was going to have, I don't know, like, peeled his face.
Because you can't hurt yourself that badly shaving an invisible beard.
That's the thing. Why? They're like, you've got a beard. But he doesn't.
He doesn't.
So anyway, he's just covered in little bits of tissue from shaving cuts, which doesn't seem like the funniest thing in the world or that would be that sort of open to derision. But nonetheless, they kill themselves laughing about it. And he's belittled and ridiculed and he exiles himself.
Mm.
So now we know why he hates everyone. He double hates.
Well, he hates them because they bullied him, but he also hates them because rather than look for an 8-year-old boy who's gone missing on a mountain, they create a myth about him to stay away from him.
That's true.
That would piss me off.
That's true, because where are his moms in all this? Like,
yes,
your 8-year-old has gone missing. And he's 8, and yes, he will freeze to death.
Yes, naughty mummies.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they were just busy at the swingers party. No time for it. So back to the present day. It's time for the hubilation, and Cindy nominates the Grinch for the holiday cheermaster. Side note here, I couldn't concentrate because at the sort of the gathering for the hubilation, Betty Lou, Cindy's mum, is wearing a hat that to me had half a glass of milk in it, and it made me feel physically sick. I was like, is it eggnog? What? That's worse. Why would you have a glass of milk on your head? What if it spills in your hair and then it dries? What? Goes sour? Gross. I couldn't concentrate. Vile.
Oh, no.
I know, it's really upset me. Don't get me a milk cat for Christmas. Is that what you were thinking? I don't want it.
You've left me speechless. I didn't even clock it.
Yeah, it stuck out to me. Anyway, so Cindy goes up the mountain, and I just want to read this out because obviously it's the best line in a fair few films, actually. She goes to tell the Grinch that he's been nominated, but he's busy. So are you ready? 4 o'clock, wallowing self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5 o'clock, solve world hunger, tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. I can't cancel that again. 7, wrestle with myself, loathing. I'm booked. Of course, if I bump the loathing to 9, I could still be done in time to lay in bed, stare at the ceiling and slip slowly into madness. Fun. Not Christmassy, but fun.
That was lockdown. That was my lockdown. Yeah. You know, exchange jazzercise for a jog. And I was doing all those things.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Sorry, that might be a bit upsetting for everyone. I laughed my head off. I didn't have a great lockdown, but I didn't do any exercise. So that made it better. So anyway, of course he does turn up. He wins the award, he judges a conga, he eats quite a lot of fudge. I think it was fudge. I sort of missed what it is that they're sort of stuffing into his mouth.
Yeah, the bastard who's, they force feed him and then shake him.
Yes.
That's not a prize.
That's not a prize.
Yeah, I feel like he's treated pretty grimly. They give him a shave because of his invisible beard.
Yes, his invisible beard. So they shame him again for this imaginary beard, which really must be starting to get on his nerves now. And the mayor, so again, we're talking about like their sort of heteronormative world that I assume they live in. The mayor proposes to Martha. I just assumed they were married because they're an older couple. And yes, I made a big assumption about that, which shows...
Yes, but she's such a sexual person.
She's
refused to be tied down to one man.
To one man, yeah.
Because there's the scene earlier where she has the light gun and she's firing lights at her house in a very suggestive way with the thrusts every time she fires a light.
I forgot to mention that. That is one of the best bits where she just pounds this thing. It's really funny. So anyway... this is a weird bit. It's script-wise, I get it, because you've got to really like smash this point about consumerism. But the mayor says to Martha, basically, if you marry me, you can have a car as well. And then the Grinch scratches the car with some furry fingers. But he goes nuts because that's their greed. He says, will the avarice never end? And then he tells him to kiss his ass, which is not a family-friendly move and is quite lewd. I mean, the kids, my kids didn't notice it. But again, I cannot believe that was all right with Audrey Geisel.
Yes.
Because it's so naughty. It just is. It's really rude.
Anyway. He also sets fire to a tree. That worse?
It felt worse, yeah.
He shaves the mare.
He shaves the mare. He trashes the place.
He terrorises the town.
And also then he hops in a taxi, but then there's little mini Who's. Now, are they, I mean, you haven't read the book, have you?
No.
I didn't understand what that was. I was like, oh, is the Grinch a giant all of a sudden? Or are there little Who's? But whatever, that just went over my head.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're back up the mountain.
But in that scene, I think we're supposed to be appalled at the fact that he's committed arson and assault and extensive Christmas damage, but
I think they deserve it.
Yeah, the whole town is deranged. Yeah. He's actually helping them by destroying Christmas. I mean, he should kill them all, but if he's not going to do that, then yes, destroy Christmas. I think he's absolutely doing the right thing here.
I think to be repeatedly shamed for something that doesn't even exist is very trying. And I can understand his anger, frankly. So anyway, back up the mountain, Christmas is still on. They don't care. And that makes him mad. So we're like, oh God, we're nearly finished at this point. So he's going to finally do the thing that's in the title and he's going to steal Christmas. So he makes a Santa outfit. He makes a sleigh. He makes Max into a reindeer. He finds time for what I took to be an impression of Ron Howard, but could also be Steven Spielberg or just insert director.
That cap is very Howard because of his balding dome. I like sticking antlers on Max.
Yeah.
Turning him into fake reindeer, which I'm calling a feign deer.
A feign deer?
It's not very good.
I tell you what, though, you always get points for trying, I think. Basically, he turns himself into evil Father Christmas, evil Santa, sorry, cleans out the whole town. Then we get into like the emotional like pivot point. The mayor shames Cindy, which I did find quite moving, actually, because she's only a little girl. And I think,
she's quite stupid, though, because to not figure out that that's the Grinch.
Like pop his head around the tree.
Yes.
It's me.
Your children knew it was Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
She should know that's the Grinch.
Yeah, she should. She is. But then the mayor, a full grown up, is like, I hope you're proud of yourself, which is obviously not something you should say.
Yeah, the mayor's the villain of this piece, isn't he?
Definitely. But that makes her dad sort of step up and say, I am proud of her because she has made him see, and therefore the whole town, that Christmas, in the words of the Grinch, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more, which is lovely. And the Grinch's heart grows, which is also lovely.
Yeah, unless you you look up what that means in real life.
Oh, he would die, would he?
Yeah, I mean, the larger your heart, large heart is a sign of disease. And as the heart gets bigger, its ability to pump blood begins to decline. The muscle fibers get stretched more. And it's not good.
No.
Basically, I did look into this if your heart increased three sizes. But then on Reddit, I found someone who says that his heart quadrupling in size, this would typically kill someone. But as it is indicated, his heart started off undersized.
It did.
So he has got a chance of surviving this.
He has. And I mean, you know, if he can climb, well, he doesn't climb with a small heart. He can basically do anything because you think he wouldn't be able to catch his breath. But obviously, and also let's remember, he's not human. So fine. Anyway, he needs to save the presents. And then Cindy's there and he does because she tells him to. And they sort of ski into town. He confesses.
That toboggan gives us the action sequence required of a family film that isn't really required.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. It does my head in sometimes when they feel the need to sort of come up with a big action.
I tell you what it made me think of. Oh, I can't believe I've forgotten the name. What's the film I like with the ham and the Coca-Cola and Father Christmas?
Santa Claus the Movie.
Santa Claus the Movie. It reminded me of that, but I think it came off poorer. It's funny, but I like the sleigh chase in that better. So anyway, they forgive him. They all forgive him. Martha goes back to him, very breathy. Like, I love Christine Baranski a lot. And I do think it's very funny that she is playing this like a sort of 40s sex siren in the middle of this family film.
Yeah, I just think it's weird. I don't like
it.
and it makes me uncomfortable. But the mayor's had his comeuppance because there was that weird moment where the dog, he kisses, he licks the dog's arse or something, or the dog licks his arse.
What, during the robbing of the houses?
Yeah,
scene?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. So the mayor's asleep. He's got a bra on his head to keep his curls in place. Mm. Cool. And then the Grinch is like, I'm going to get the dog to kiss you. But then the dog is seen sort of dragging itself across. What does that mean?
I think that some bumlingus has been happening.
That is mad. That is mad that that is in this film. I just had to block it out straight away because it upset me so much. And I just thought, oh, the dog's got worms. Like,
so,
I don't.
So not only does the mayor lose the love of his life,
yeah,
he licks a bum's a dog's arse.
Yeah. Hey, happy Christmas, Audrey Geisel. So, yeah, the Grinch carves the beast. The end. That's it.
Did you see the little Easter egg? Oh, Easter egg. That's good. Cindy Lou is at the end there, is serving green eggs and ham.
Oh, is she? No, I missed that.
That one slipped in.
Yeah.
And then you get the Faith Hill singing Mariah Carey for some reason.
That is weird. I just didn't notice. So that's it. Any more? Shall we do the bits?
There was one fact I liked. I was reading about June Foray, who was the sort of female version of Chuck Jones back in the day. She did the voices of all these characters. Mel Blanc. And she was the voice of Cindy Lou in the original cartoon.
Oh, okay.
And Chuck Jones was unable to attend the premiere of this film due to his ill health, but she was invited along, having been part of the history of this story. And she said, after seeing the film, she said she was glad that Jones didn't get to see it, believing that the film would have finished him off.
Oh my God. Okay. It's not that bad, is it? I don't know. It's a funny film, isn't it? It's just, when you're watching it, you're just like, ah, I can't, my eyes. But then afterwards, and also I'm the wrong person to ask because even though I'm on a podcast talking about it, I love Christmas so much that I will forgive a lot at this time of year.
Yeah, but maybe if you've been a part of this very sweet, lovely adaptation of this story, to see this quite obnoxious, noisy, it just, I don't know, I don't like those, I don't like noisy films.
No, I know. And
it's not because I'm getting old. I didn't like them when I was little. I just think, I don't know, it's, you can be better than that.
Yeah, it's not very homely, I guess. Okay, so what was your favourite scene?
The original Baby Yoda, Baby Grinch.
Yeah.
I love the look of Baby Grinch, and then Child Baby Grinch, as we've established, is just adorable. So the stuff with him, I think, is... the whole film could have captured some of that spirit. I think you've got something special.
Definitely. Mine's exactly the same, the flashback stuff. It's so, so, so good. And I was nearly crying. Mm. So there we are. What's your most valuable whatever?
Going to say Anthony Hopkins because I love his voice, but as I don't want to anger you, I'm going to say Kelly, who plays Max the dog. I think Kelly does an amazing job.
Yeah, that's fair.
And do you know who does the noises for Max?
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah. We've said his name every week for 2.5 years.
I know. And I said it last week.
Mm-hmm.
What's his fucking name? Help me out.
Frank
Welker.
Yeah.
What is wrong with me? I need to get tattooed.
Classic Welks.
Classic Welker. He just does everything.
He must be up there, actually. I'll have to do a count on to whether or not he's our most clashed person.
We
now
should put it in the spreadsheet. That's what spreadsheets are for, Chris. They do the counting, so you don't have
okay
to.
We'll do. Who's yours then? Who's your most valuable whatever?
I mean, you know, I want to give it to Jim Carrey because I do get it, and he's familiar to me, you know, so I want to, but I can't because of Josh Ryan Evans. I think he steals it.
Yeah.
I really do. I want to see a whole film of that.
Agreed. And I don't think you do have to give it to Jim Carrey either. I think this might be a better Grinch if it had been Jack Nicholson or Dustin Hoffman or whoever. He doesn't feel like the Grinch to me. He feels like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Sort of forcing a story into what he can do.
Yeah, I do agree there. I mean, I suppose if you like what he does, it's palatable. I don't know.
I do like what he does, but I just don't think it works here.
So what would you change?
The Grinch doesn't need a fucking backstory. Just like Hannibal Lecter doesn't need a backstory. Norman Bates doesn't need a backstory. And Darth Vader doesn't need a backstory. He's grumpy. That's it.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's all we need. He's grumpy and he doesn't like the noise.
I suppose, Audrey, guys, you fucked yourself out of an origin story. So that was a foolish
you did.
Move.
You didn't get the prequel. Yeah. But I just don't think it's necessary for this character. I don't think it makes him, it's giving him these hidden debts, but I don't think it needs
You're
it.
Right, because you could spend the narrative with him stealing Christmas, I would say within the first at least fucking half hour, and then having a turnaround based on some adventure that he gets up to.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Also, if you want to make a Tim Burton movie, get Tim Burton.
Sure. I've got quite a few changes. Lose the snouts. I can't bear them. They just make me think of wet noses. I can't cope with them. Whoville itself seems quite foggy. Did you notice that? Like, I can't cope with that. Less back and forth. We're up the mountain. We're down the mountain. We're up and down. That's annoying. He comes down once. He stays down and learns a lesson. Or he never comes down or whatever. But you can't just keep going back and forth. Coming down off the mountain needs to be as symbolic as it sounds. But the big one is make Cindy's mum and dad, Lou and Betty, sort of central to having run the Grinch out of town in the first place. Because they get away with it because they're sort of adjacent to that action. They were present, but they didn't do it. And I think it's just more of a, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I think I might have jumped the shark of my own personality. Make them more central to that because let's just collapse a few characters.
No, I'm with you. There needs to be sort of that guilt happening in town.
And then
through
their daughter
central characters.
Shows them how they can be better people, better hoos, whatever. That's it.
Right, that was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Very sorry if you love that film. I feel like, do people love that film?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I've met anyone that loves it, but maybe a different generation does, or maybe a different continent does. So profuse apologies. You can get in touch with us at ClashPod on Twitter and Instagram to tell us why we're wrong. As there's no Alex, this week's quiz will be shifting to next week. So you can relax, Vicky. You can relax. Otherwise, it would have been too easy a win for you.
I probably still would have fucked it up.
But it is going to be this week themed. I'm just going to switch it over.
Okay,
which is Christmassy. So I'll take the opportunity to again plug our January season, which is being curated by you, the listener. Simply send your pairings to show@clashpod.com and we'll pick the best from the 300 and counting that we've received thus far. Which is amazing. Thanks for all your emails. Thanks for all the lovely messages. It's been really awesome reading people saying why they listen and what they enjoy about the show. And if you do fancy saying why you want those specific pairings, that's always good for us to read out on the show because it's always good to hear your reasoning. But now it's clue time and it's my go, meaning Clashmas continues with this. Sitting on a throne of lies. That's sitting on a throne of lies.
That's horrendous.
Right, that's your lot. If you haven't already, and as a Christmas present to us, please subscribe and or rate and or review our humble podcast if you have the time. And do check in with us on Twitter and Instagram at ClashPod for additional bits and pieces. In the meantime, we'll be back on Thursday to talk Krampus. Goodbye.
This was a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.